Next, we hear some of the national conversation after the police killing of George Floyd. Much of that conversation is on social media or on TV or on this radio network. In other words, not face-to-face. But in one part of Seattle, people are getting right in each other's faces. Protesters have occupied six blocks of the city, and they have attracted visitors who want to talk. NPR's Hannah Alem went to listen.
The last person related to a person that actually fought in the Civil War just died.
A white man in a cowboy hat with a gun at his waist stands out among protesters here. So do his views. Suffice it to say, he does not agree that blocking off a police station and declaring a free zone helps the cause of racial equality.
I've never met a veteran that would agree with you.
She's a veteran.
Yeah.
A veteran. This should be a separate country in our country.
So, ding ding, round one.
You listen to what the world's saying?
No,
not the mayor. Not the mayor. The world is seeing this as a crime.
A black man shot in the back as a crime. That's what the world's seeing.
Some of the voices are muffled. They're wearing face masks. The tense exchange goes on nearly 6 minutes. Americans of different backgrounds with different ideas about justice, hashing it out on an occupied sidewalk. The protesters try to keep it civil.
I'm glad you're here. Because you know why? We need to hear other people's voices. Exactly.
The 64-year-old visitor, he'd only give his first name, Bart, tells the group he supports their cause, just not their tactics. The protesters see they're at an impasse.
Excuse me. But when your opinion is based in inaccuracies and a lack of facts...
Peace. Take it from a long hair that lost his hair. Just say peace, smoke some weed, and go with it.
I like your hat.
Well, we can agree to disagree. It's all good. This is America.
This is America. At its most raw, its most exposed. The debates taking place here reflect the broader soul-searching many non-Black Americans are doing these days. In the free zone, protesters set up an open-air conversation cafe to get talks going, like this one, between a white suburban couple and a Black woman in a colorful head wrap.
I'm sad that this is what the police have been about, and our eyes are kind of open, and we need to change it big time.
I'm
in favor.
That your eyes are open. I couldn't believe that white people didn't understand our plight, and
they
couldn't see it. I just couldn't believe it.
I can't believe it either, which is the frustrating thing. And I'm okay with being frustrated right now. I want to listen.
This moment is a test of the capacity for non-Black Americans to hear and respond to a pain that stretches back centuries. It's also a test of protesters' tolerance for opposition in the six-block area they call a free zone. Not everybody's welcome. A few critics, some of them armed, have shown up in MAGA hats or with big American flags. As protester Bryn Alexander explains, agitators typically get herded out.
The way we've been dealing with it is just crowds of people are kind of just like, we don't want to hear your voice right now, so we're just going to walk with you and kind of weirdly push you out without ever touching you.
Those instances are rare. Generally, protesters say if visitors of any political leaning come in good faith for dialogue, they'll find someone willing to talk.
I actually lean right, very much so, and I am feeling very duped by the things that I'm hearing and seeing on Breitbart, InfoWars, and I had to concede a lot of that yesterday. And it's not white guilt. It's nothing of that nature.
That's Sean, a white law enforcement officer. He declines to give his last name or details about his job. He says he could get in trouble for speaking without permission. Sean says George Floyd's death made him think about the quote-unquote bad apples he's come across on duty and why he didn't always speak up.
I feel like I have a lot to learn. I'm not going to concede to some of the narratives. That's not what I'm trying to do. But what I am trying to do is be open-minded and learn and challenge and test myself a little bit.
At one corner of the protest zone, Royce Evans takes it all in. She's watching thousands of people, predominantly white, stroll by in Black Lives Matter t-shirts. Evans is a Black woman who works in HR. She doesn't want to sound cynical, she says, but she knows firsthand how stubbornly racism persists in and out of the workplace.
It's been maddening, like, hearing people finally come to the light. Like, it's a good thing, but it's also like, we've been speaking about this for years, so what now? Why do you believe now?
It's Evans' first visit to the camp. Like many Black protesters in Seattle, she's skeptical. Is the free zone a distraction from the fight against inequality? Or is it a laboratory for a new way of thinking and talking about race in America?
And it's good to see people who you used to argue with about these things, like the but what about people, And now you see them kind of confronting like their friends and their family members that are, you know, where they used to be. So I think all in all, it's going to be good. But I think more than anything, like there just needs to be concrete change, right? And so there needs to be some type of action behind it.
Talk alone, she says, is no longer enough. Hannah Al-Lam, NPR News, Seattle.